We have been discussing getting to know God, getting to know Jesus. We talked about Jesus last week. And if you notice our core beliefs, we talk about we believe in God, we believe in the Trinity, we believe in Jesus, we believe in the Holy Spirit. And I realized, you know, I had to do a sermon about the Holy Spirit because sometimes we might not quite understand what the Holy Spirit is. And I realized, and as I was preparing the sermon, I realized I had to kind of condense it because there's so much to talk about the Holy Spirit that we wouldn't have time to just do it in one sermon. So, you know, there are so many stereotypes about the Holy Spirit out there. And, you know, when we talk about part of knowing God is part of knowing that God is a triune God, that God exists in three persons. God the Father, we talked about Him, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There are three persons, one essence. Just like we talked about water, it's H2O, but water can be in solid, liquid, and vapor, and gas. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, like I said, there's so many stereotypes, because people think that if you talk too much about the Holy Spirit, people will label you charismatic. If you don't talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, people say, well, that church is very cold. I mean, sometimes people think out there, you know, the Holy Spirit is almost like the church that has the Holy Spirit is a church that's jumping around and the preacher lays their hands on people and they fall backward. That's what, for a lot of people, that's what the Holy Spirit is. And, you know, there's so many ways that you go through a scripture, you don't see that, and you wonder. I mean, you see that today, and that, all the people say, unless you speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And you go back to a scripture, and it's like, that's not really what it says. And that's why I realized we have to bring a sermon about the Holy Spirit, because we have so many different ideas out there about what or who the Holy Spirit is. And we need to let scripture teach us about who He is. What is He here for? Francis Chan has a great book entitled Forgotten God, and it's all about the Holy Spirit, because in some churches, they don't even talk about the Holy Spirit. It's almost like a forgotten deity out there. Like I say, if you talk too much, they say, well, you are Pentecostal, you are charismatic. And if you don't talk too much about Him, then you're cold. You're not Spirit-filled, people will tell you. Now, who is the Holy Spirit? One of the things you and I need to understand, the Holy Spirit is God. We talked about it's the third person of the triune God. And some of you who take notes, this is going to help us tremendously. It's the third person. He has the same attributes of is co-equal with the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is not a divine influence. It's not a force be with you. It's not a force either. The Holy Spirit is a person. He feels, He has a will, He has possesses intellect and emotions. You hear in the Bible that you grieve the Holy Spirit. How are you going to grieve an influence or a ghost? You know, so some versions would say the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is not a ghost either. It's a person. And like I said, co-equal with the Father. So when you go through the Bibles, there's so many names for the Holy Spirit. I mean, right from Genesis 1, you hear the Spirit of God. And the word God there is Elohim. So you hear about it through the Scripture, the Old Testament and New Testament. You hear the Spirit of Elohim, the Spirit of Yahweh, the Spirit of the Lord. Another name for the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And you have the Scriptures right there for some of you who take notes. Sometimes you hear about another title for Him is the Spirit of Truth. Another word, another title for Him is the Advocate, or Counselor, Helper, Comforter. Those are titles that we see through our Scripture for the Holy Spirit. You see, we're introduced to Him in Genesis 1:2. The word says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless. And then in verse 2, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, hovered over the waters. It was moving. Even from creation, you hear the Holy Spirit is already working through creation, which there is a worldview out there that says that God created this world and He just left it out there. You see, from Scripture, we see that God's already involved already in creation. The Holy Spirit is already moving through the created universe, created planet that God made. In the Old Testament also, the Holy Spirit gifted certain individuals for service to work. When God told Moses, you got to build a tabernacle, God is a God of details. When you read that, we're going through now in our study on Friday. It says, you know, you have to be a certain measure. You have to, you got to build it with gold. And shape it, and these curtains. And you wonder, how did people know how to make those things? I mean, I don't know if you ever wondered, but God came, he says that through the Holy Spirit, he will give certain individuals so that they will be silversmiths, so that people will be working with curtains and yarns and all the things. I mean, you read that, it's like God gifted those individuals to do those work. And it was through the Spirit. And you hear the expression, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, and they were able to do the work that God required them to do. So he gifted, empowered people, certain individuals, for ministry, for service. That's in Exodus 31 and 35. Also, the Holy Spirit empowered the judges of Israel so they would accomplish God's purposes. The book of the Bible, Judges, when you go in there, there's like, more than seven judges. There's even a woman who was a judge, Deborah. And those people, I mean, some of them, it's like they were ordinary people like you and I. Gideon thought like, I'm just the weakest one. Why are you using me, God? But then the Bible talks about, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon them. You see, Gideon was able to defeat the Midianites. According to Judges 6:34, then you had Jephthah to fight the Amorites. I mean, you cannot fight this battle on your own. You're going to need somebody to give you the strength and the power. And that's where the Spirit of the Lord will come on those individuals. Remember Samson? Sometimes we think that Samson was strong because he had long hair. But I see a lot of long-haired guys, and they're not that strong. When you go back and you examine the scripture, you realize, because it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he just tear apart things, you know, tear things apart. And that's what Samson did. Judges 13. 25, also 14, 6 through 19. I mean, to be able to just kill a lion with your bare hands, it wasn't the long hair that did it. It was the Spirit of the Lord upon Samson. You realize like how God gifted certain people, how God empowered certain people all throughout the Old Testament and through the Spirit of the Lord. Another thing that we notice through our scripture is that the Spirit of God also empowered the prophets. We always talked about that because, see, we need to understand the prophets never came and said, well, this is what I think you should do. They always said this word, thus says the Lord. I'm telling you this because the Lord told me to tell you. It's not my own. So, prophets, we hear about men like Elijah. You know, Elijah, to me, is one of the greatest prophets because when Israel did not know what God to follow, Elijah finally challenged the people and said, okay, you need to decide today. You're either going to go with Yahweh or you're going to go with those other Baal's gods. Let's find out who the true God is. The God who answers with fire today, he said, let them be the true God. And so he got all the prophets of Baal, and you know, they're calling to the gods, and the God didn't answer. And Elijah just called on the name of the Lord. Amen. Fire came down from heaven. And Elijah did so many things. The Bible even says that that man did not even die because the Lord took him to heaven just like that. And then later on he shows up with Jesus in the New Testament. You know, Elijah and Moses, one of the greatest. But the spirit of Elijah, after Elijah was gone, there was Elijah. He was the successor. And Elijah, all he wanted was a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. And Elijah said, sorry, you cannot ask me. I cannot give you that. That's not for me to give. But if you can see me when I go, the Lord will give it to you. And the Lord did. After Elijah died one time, many, many years, and you read the Old Testament, they're doing a funeral of somebody. And that person happened, the casket fell on the tomb that was Elijah, and that person that was in the casket got up. Someone like, because it's through the Spirit of the Lord. I mean, that's how powerful some of those prophets were. And God gave him power to speak on God's behalf. But not just to speak, to do miracles. Some of those prophets, you know, they would just challenge the people, and they were able to do miracles. Elijah raised up a son of a widow. Elisha, they were doing some work, and an axe fell into the river, and the guys are like, oh, it was borrowed, it wasn't even mine. And Elisha got the stick, and it's like, whoop, and made that iron float. I mean, they were empowered by God's Spirit to do all those things. To speak Ezekiel, every time when you read the introduction of one of those prophetic books, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came to me, or he would say this, the word of the Lord came to me. And that's why I decided to do that. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jonah. Jonah did not want to go. I mean, we know Jonah's like, he tried to just, GPS is all the way. And God had to recalculate him. Not in an easy way, but had to bring it back. But they spoke on behalf of God. First Peter helps us understand what that meant. The Holy Spirit is the author, of the originator of prophecy. 2 Peter 1:20 and 21 says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That word to carry along is like you envision a sailboat. You just go with the wind. So the Holy Spirit is doing that to those people. They're being carried along by the Holy Spirit to speak God's word. And he goes back to what Paul says in 2 Timothy, when he says, all Scripture is God-breathed. What does that mean? Some translation would say inspired by God. But you know what God-breathed means? It's like, breathe out by God. You see, the word spirit in the Bible is the word for breath. You know, like when God created mankind, he says, and he breathed into them and the breath of life, and we became human beings. We have spirit. God gave us something that he did not give the plants and the animals. We can identify with God because he gave us a spirit. He breathed into us. That's the word for spirit. So God breathed his word. He told those people, write exactly what I'm telling you. That's why he was so meticulous when he told Moses, and this had to be the measurement of the tabernacle. And it's almost like Moses, when you using the measuring tape, maybe a couple inches. No, God said it has to be that. Don't change it. I mean, he was so into it. Like, you have to be this way. The God of provision, the God of details. So the Holy Spirit is the author of the prophecy, because prophets did not speak on their own behalf. It wasn't their own interpretation, but the Spirit of God guided them to say. That's what we talked about. The Bible is the inspired word of God. He breathed it out, even though he used men to write it. The Holy Spirit also says that he will empower the Messiah when the Messiah came. You see, the Jewish people, they're reading the Old Testament, and they already knew that God said that. Isaiah 61 talks about this. That when the Messiah comes, he's going to come empowered by the Spirit. He's going to be able to free, we talk about freedom, captives, and to do miracles. Isaiah 61, if you got your Bibles, you can just take a look at that. It says, it starts like this, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives, and to release from darkness, to release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God. So Jesus, later on, when he started his ministry, he goes back to his hometown in Nazareth, and he goes into the synagogue, and there, you know, they gave him the scroll, the prophet Isaiah. So he looked up the place where he says, Isaiah 61, he read it. He read the same portion according to Luke 4, 14 and 21. And after Jesus read it, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim deliverance for captives. And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it to the attendant, and then everybody sat down. And the Bible says that everybody's eyes were fixed on Jesus. And then he said this, today this prophecy is being fulfilled. What did Jesus mean by that? Jesus is telling those people that prophecy of Isaiah 61, the Messiah, is here today. Whatever you're reading is already being fulfilled in your eyes. And you know what people wanted to do to Jesus? They tried to kill him right there because they didn't believe that he was the Messiah. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God will come upon the Messiah, and he was going to be able to do what Jesus did. Jesus even said that he's not doing that, you know, on his own, that it's by the power of the Spirit. Then we also see the Spirit of God at Jesus' birth. He was also involved at Jesus' birth. It's interesting, the word Trinity does not appear in the Bible, but everywhere, there's so many instances that you see three, they're present in creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God was moving. Then God said, let there be. God spoke. Later on, I hear that the Word of God is called Jesus. John 1:1, we learn in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning. By Him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible. Then, you know, when God said, let us make, let us, where's us? If you only want, talking about, I mean, that's evidence of the triune God all over the place. And then at Jesus' birth, when the angel comes to Mary, in Luke chapter 1:35, Mary said, how is this possible? Because I'm just engaged. I haven't been with a man. And Gabriel said, let me get Luke right here. 1:35. And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. There's the Holy Spirit coming upon you. And the power of the Most High, there's God, the Father, will overshadow you so that the Holy One to be born, the Son, will be called the Son of God. The three again. This evidence right there, all together. Then, you know, and Jesus' baptism. You remember what happened when he was baptized? He says that the Holy Spirit actually took a form of a dove and came, descended upon Jesus. And people saw that. And there was a voice that says, this is my beloved Son. This is the three again. In whom I am well pleased. That's why some churches, you see that the Holy Spirit is represented as a dove. That's where they get it from. You know, some other people will have a little fire going on because for them that's what the Holy Spirit means. But it's still a person. It's a person. So it came at Jesus' baptism, and you see the scriptures right there, because Mark, Luke, and Matthew talk about the incident. Some of them were even there when they heard the voice. Now it's interesting, Jesus commanded his followers also to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He commanded us to do that. It's a command. I mean, no exception. I mean, that's why we do it. Now think about, what is the Holy Spirit doing today in the world? In John 14, which I've been talking and we haven't gone to our text yet, I just want to give you some background all the way from the Old Testament so you see the work that God's been doing through people, through His Spirit. In John 14, verses 15 through 17, Jesus said this to the apostles, the disciples. If you love me, you will obey my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. And then here's the title, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither see him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you. And it's like, wow. Jesus is telling the apostles. I mean, remember chapter 14 of John is when Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place. But I'm going to ask the Father to give you another counselor. The word in Greek for another, it's not like, oh, it's different. Sometimes you hear like another, it's different. No, another of the same kind. That's what it is. There's like two words in the Greek for another. You know, it can be another that they look different. It's another person. You know, this is another of the same kind, the same essence. He said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to ask the Father to give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, Jesus said. Then go with me to verse 25. Chapter 14. He said, all this I have spoken while I was still with you. But the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. So when he comes, it's not remind you of everything I already taught you. It's not tell you, remind you and teach you. That's one of the functions he's going to do on God's people today. Then go now to John 16. Verse 5 through following. This is the whole idea of the work of the Spirit. The Bible says, Jesus said, now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. To me, it's interesting. Jesus has been hanging out with the apostles, the disciples for 3 years, and he said, it is for your benefit that I have to go away. Francis Chan said it this way. Could you imagine that the Son of God is walking side by side with you, and then he says, I'm leaving, and it's good that I leave. It is even better if I leave. Because unless I leave, the counselor will not come. So I was like, really, what could be better just having Jesus hang out with you? He said, no, it's going to be better if I leave. I was like, really? I mean, because now it's like, it's not just going to be around you. It's going to live in you. I mean, let's keep on reading what he says. And then he says, unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send them to you. Did you catch that? In chapter 14, it says, the Father is going to send them to you. And now Jesus said, I'm going to send them because it's still the same God we're talking about. And you read those things like, hold on, I thought the Father was sending the Spirit. But now Jesus said, I'm sending him. The whole idea of the God is still the same. Even though it's in three persons. And then Jesus continues. He says to the apostles, when he comes, he will convict, that's verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin. Because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you cannot see me no longer. Where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. He said, I have much to say to you, more than you can even now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to you. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit work now in the life of the believers and even in the world. You notice the Spirit of truth, Jesus calls him the counselor, the advocate. I love Jesus said, he's going to be with you and also in you. He will indwell the believers now. You see, in the Old Testament, that didn't happen. He will come on people, but he will leave. Jesus now says he's going to be with you forever. He's going to live in you. Someone's like, wow, man, an amazing thought. And like I said, Jesus said, it will be better if I go. So, you see what's going on. Jesus is no longer with us physically. But we have his presence, and that's the Spirit. How do we know that? Because if you go back to the Great Commission, one other part in Matthew 28:20, just say, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything I have commanded you. And then Jesus said, I'm with you always. How can you be with us always when you said that you're leaving? I mean, reason that out. You already told the disciples you're leaving, but then you said in Matthew, you're going to be with us always. But how? Through the Spirit. Because the Spirit, like, is also called the Spirit of Jesus. There was a couple in the New Testament that died because they lied to God. And Peter said, how dare you lie to the Holy Spirit? And they just got eliminated right there. And so he's going to live in the disciples, in God's people. That's what you talk about, the new birth. Being born in the water and the Spirit. The Bible talks about it. The Spirit is here to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You see, it's not our job to argue people into the kingdom of God. Our job is just to be the voice of God, to broadcast the message. And it's God's Spirit who's nudging people and telling them, you better believe that. You better pay attention to that. It's Him doing that work. He's the convictor. We're just announcing. You know, he's the one that makes people think about, maybe, and he says that he's going to convict the people of sin. In other words, when people realize, you know, I really have a stinking attitude. I mean, that's the Spirit working. I need to change. That's really the Spirit working within that person's heart. The righteousness, the whole idea of what's right and wrong, the Spirit within us is telling us, you're doing, that's wrong. And you know, when you get that feeling maybe I'm walking the wrong path. I mean, God through the Spirit works in our conscience. And I always picture Tom and Jerry cartoon. There's the little, the good angel and the bad one. And we have to make decisions all the time. And it's like, we don't know sometimes which one we're going to follow. And usually the one you pay attention to, you go with that one. And the Spirit's always he will guide you into all truth. He will tell you what is the right thing to do. One of the jobs. And in the world, he was going to convict the world. He's going to tell people that, yes, there is a judgment coming if you reject Jesus. And you don't want to face that judgment without Christ in your heart. Because it is scary. He will guide God's people into all truth. See, he's working in the world today. All we have to do is announce Christ's message, and God will do the convicting. You know, God will just touch that person's heart to come to him. I love how Paul calls the Holy Spirit. He says, the Holy Spirit is the down payment of what's to come. The down payment. You know, when you make a down payment on a car, you stop making a down payment, they might take it away. But God said, I'm gonna bring my seal of approval that what I'm telling you in Scripture is going to happen. And Paul calls it, he's the deposit, the down payment of our inheritance. God already said that I'm going to go and prepare a place, and if I go, I'm going to come back and take you. And you know, John, talking about heaven, this beautiful place, he cannot even bring words to describe how beautiful it is. He said, that's waiting for my people when I come. And God said, I'm gonna seal that seal of approval, and that's called the Holy Spirit. And Paul talks about that in Ephesians 1:14, and also in 2 Corinthians 1:22. In 1:22, he says, now it is God who makes both us, 2 Corinthians, set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Wow, man, that's beautiful. There's something greater coming for God's people, and the guarantee of that is the Spirit that he placed in our hearts, in us. He lives in us, the Spirit. And it's interesting, when you do a study about the dwelling places of God, God dwelt on a mountain one time, Mount Sinai. He said, this is my dwelling place. Then God later on dwelt in the temple when David and Solomon, when they built it through the Ark of the Covenant. And then finally God said, in the beginning, and the Word became flesh. God dwelt among us as a human being. Then Jesus said, I'm going to go physically, but I'm still going to be with you through his presence, through his Spirit in us. I mean, there's so many things. Like I said, we spend the whole day talking about what the Spirit does. I mean, it says like, for God's people, do not grieve him. Sometimes we grieve him because we listen to the other spirit. We listen to the other thing around us, and we ignore his voice. And he says like, he gets grieved when God's people go the opposite direction, when we don't want to do what he's telling us to do. The Bible talks about that when we do not even know how to pray, he intercedes for us with groaning that we cannot even express. I have no idea what that means. I mean, like he groans within us, like when we don't even know how to pray, and he within ourselves. And he also says that the Spirit that God gave us testified to the Spirit that we are his kids, that we are his children. He's doing all that on God's people. Meanwhile, he's also working in the world through you, so that other people can come to know Jesus. God lives in his people now through his Spirit. Remember the text that says, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. I mean, many Christians don't realize that God himself, how powerful God is, he lives in you. That's why Paul says, you know, when you go through temptation, he will give you strength to overcome that, because he's greater. And if you just understood that, if you just knew that God lives in you, you realize, you know, really, I mean, you should not be afraid. Whom shall I fear? Chris Tomlin said, because I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel army is always by my side, and not just by my side. He's within me to guide me when I'm weak. That's why Paul said, when I'm weak, I am strong. And Paul, people might think he was crazy for somebody to say, I can do all things through Christ, because he's the one who strengthens me. And you know, you and I we're going to go through a lot of trials and tribulation, and people want to look at you, and they're not going to have any idea how it is that you can just stand when everybody else should be falling. And you can stand because we have one that's greater, and he's holding us together. And that's the Spirit of God working through us in our lives, changing us. I mean, the Bible says that God made this mold so that we look like Jesus, and it's the Spirit that he put in us. It's going to help us to start looking and feeling and loving people the way Jesus wants us to love them. It's only through him. That's why sometimes you get to forgive people that in your power you cannot. And you're like, how did I ever forgive that? It's like, because it's not you working, it's him. I mean, on our own human nature, you know what we want to do. Just get it. I mean, it's like, you cannot.
I mean,
you know, even when somebody cuts you off on the road, and you human nature, you know, I've been there. And it's like, thank God that a little still small voice says like, just be like Jesus now. And it's like, okay, let me just let it go. You know, but you know, even you can be the preacher, you're still going to get mad. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, are you crazy, man? It's like, but then the Spirit's just like, it's okay. You know, he's educating us. He's molding us to be more like Jesus. You know, when things really disrupt the flow of our lives, it's almost like, you know, we don't know what to do. And people look at you, how you even you grieve, how you can tolerate certain things. It's not really you. It's Him working in you and through you.
Amen.
Even though Jesus Christ Himself is no longer physical with us, we have His Spirit. And the beauty of it, at the end of time, Jesus Christ is going to come back again. You see, one day you and I won't have to have the Spirit living in us. Because Revelation talks about now the dwelling of God is with man. Once again, God's going to come in human form at the end of time when Jesus comes again. And then we just be like Him. You know, no more sin, no more death. And it's like beautiful once again. But in the meantime, He has to be in us to guide us. Because this Christian walk, this Christian race is not easy. And it's only by His power that we can just do certain things in this life. You know, it's like I don't want to stand over here without God's power, because there's nothing in me, really. It's just through Him. And it's like you and I, like I said, we cannot do a lot of things if we don't have that power, God Himself living in us. I want to close with 1 John, because 1 John really nails it. 1 John 4, 1 through 4. And it should be in the slide. Thinking about the Spirit, he said to the church, dear friends, now this is the John who wrote the gospel. This is the same John who wrote the book of Revelation. He says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. You know, there's a lot of other spirits out there. We have the Holy Spirit in us, but there are people, you know, those other spirits, some they're called demons. Teachers said, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Oh, there it is. You want to know what the Spirit of God is? He says, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. There are religious groups out there that will tell you that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh and that He wasn't God. And John says, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is from God. Anybody else who tells you differently, you know it's not from God. I mean, John is very specific about when it comes to testing the Spirit. Then he says, verse 3, But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Again, there it is. Some groups want to take Jesus out of the picture. And it says, if you take Jesus out of the picture, then you're not really from God. I mean, it says it right there. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, he says. Whoever says that Jesus is not from God is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now is already in the world. There's so many Antichrists around you already. People that do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. I mean, John said they're really the Antichrist. And there's a bigger one coming. But yeah, there's so many Antichrists already around. Now you, my dear friends, are from God and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. There's the text that we tend to use a lot. So my brothers and sisters, God's Spirit lives in us today. You see, Jesus, before He sent the disciples out, says, you're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to be my witnesses. The same Spirit that the apostles have, we have it today. The thing is sometimes that we just don't let Him work within us. We kind of like block Him. He wants to do so much stuff in our lives, but we're afraid. We don't unleash Him. You know, even when we pray, we're already believing that it's not going to happen. But then you say, as you believe, that's what's going to happen. And so it's like, so He lives within us to guide us and to help us live the lives that God has called us to live. To be able to represent Him everywhere we go. So He's the one living in us. Jesus said He's going to be with you to guide you, to teach you, to remind you of the things that I already taught you. Jesus said, and the Spirit will guide you into all truth. There is a truth out there. And we know it because it's Jesus Christ said it. And you know Jesus, He said, you will know the truth and He will set you free. And so He will guide you into all truth. Even in our society when it says that truth is relative. So the Spirit will get us there. So the praise team is going to come. You're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He says that once you accept and receive, you are baptized into His name. Peter said, repent and be baptized, all of you, for the forgiveness of sins. And God will give you the gift, the Holy Spirit. And then he said, the promise is for anybody, even for those who are far off. So God calls us to live in us, to guide us, to nurture us, to be God's people as we represent Jesus in our society in this world. So it's amazing how the Spirit is still working, what He did in the Old Testament, what He's doing today, and what He's doing in your life and in my life. God's still with us because He said, I never leave you nor forsake you. The only thing He changed now is His dwelling place because He's living in us. Man, powerful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that you have chosen so many places to dwell, to live on. And ultimately, now you are in us and you're working through us as we go. I mean, even Paul says we are your ambassadors, as if God is doing His appeal through us, because He's the one really working, Lord. And we know that we're going to go through a lot of trials and tribulations, Father, but I pray that we can always continue relying on you, because really, ultimately, it's going to be through you that we're going to be able to overcome any obstacle, any temptation, any sin problem in our world, in our lives. Thank you for your Spirit that testified to our own spirits that we are your children. And thank you that even when we are weak and we don't know where to go, you intercede for us. Through you, we are strong. Even when it seems that our world is falling apart. But you are the one who holds the whole universe in your hands, and you holding us together through your Spirit so that we do not fall apart, so that the world can see that through you, truly, like Mandisa said, we are overcomers. And it's not just because the song says it's because you said it, and you place your Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing to us what's coming. It's a down payment, say that, yes, something better is coming for God's people. And Lord, we want to be where you are, because that's the glory revealed. And Lord, thank you so much for the many blessings that Daryl reminded us today. Even those small blessings that we think sometimes they're so small, but you are the one really orchestrating all those things for us. Father, thank you. May we live for you always. And may other people also see Christ through us. We give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.